Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. And a special good morning to all the mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, and mothers-to-be out there. In our scripture lesson, sometimes it's hard to see Jesus' first reply of who is my mother and who is my brothers as very positive when he's told that his mothers and his brothers are outside. It's kind of a shock. But that's what Jesus was meaning by that. He wanted to shock us out of our complacency and make it understood that once we believe in Jesus Christ and accept him as our Lord and Savior, we are adopted into the Lord's family, that we are separated from the world's family and brought into God's family. And that's the point of the scripture. So please listen to your own personal message as I read Matthew 12, 46 through 50. While Jesus was talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Somebody told him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to the disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. That was such a nice job reading. Appreciate it very, very much. As many women do today, they stay home. Let me start over. Reboot. A woman had to quit work to stay home with her child, new baby daughter. And countless hours of peekaboo and other games slowly took their toll, not being around any adults, just always with little children. And one evening, she smacked her bare toes on the corner of a dresser, and grabbing her foot, she sank to the floor. Her husband rushed to her side and asked where it hurt. She looked at her husband through her tear-filled eyes and managed to moan, "It's the piggy that ate the roast beef." Too much time with children. Another harried mother had three very active boys. One summer evening, she was playing cops and robbers, and one of the boys sat in the backyard. He shot his mother with, pretend, and yelled, "Bang, you're dead." So she just drops to the ground. A neighbor sees this, and when she doesn't get up, he goes running over to her, scared that she's fallen, hurt herself, maybe got a concussion laying there, and he bends over, and this overworked, frazzled mother, she opens one eye and says, "Shh, don't give me away. It's the only chance I've had to rest all day." Some of you relate to that, I know. It's never been easy being a mother or a parent at all. Do you think it was any easier for Mary, the mother of Jesus? She was not from an affluent family. The scriptures tells us that Mary and Joseph dedicated Jesus at the temple, and the offerings they made were only two doves, the offering prescribed for poor families. But there were other children in the family besides Jesus, a house full, in fact, we believe from the scriptures. The house had other boys, maybe a number of girls. On Jesus' 12th birthday, we don't read any more about Joseph. He probably died young, as did many back then. Have you ever thought about Mary as a single mom? All through my childhood and listening, I just always thought about Joseph and Mary being together, raising Jesus and the other boys, always there. But how did she do it? We don't think she ever remarried. How did she support these children? Maybe this is why, we don't know, but maybe this is why Jesus delayed his ministry to help raise the children till someone else got a proper age that could do it, and he started his ministry. We don't know. It was not easier after Jesus began his ministry. Mary did not understand Jesus' teaching. She better than anyone else knew that he was sent from God, but she didn't like the teachings particularly that he was giving, because they were different from what she had been raised up with. Many of his teachings were in direct conflict with the conventional wisdom of that time, and that's never easy to change. She and her brothers worried about him. They even asked him to come home. They knew that no good could come from what he was doing. And they were right, for the establishment soon struck back, and there hangs her baby boy on the cross. In the foot of the cross stood her mother, his mother. All the disciples had forsaken him, but not the mother. And after Jesus' resurrection, Mary began to understand that what he had been teaching was reflective of who the Father really was. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, became one of the followers. She raised him, and now she is following him as the Son of God, as the Messiah. And the writer of Acts says that all with one of mind, after Jesus' death and resurrection, were devoting themselves to prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Do you think it was any easier for Mary? It's never easy being a mother. Children can baffle you. Mary was baffled by Jesus. At his birth, she knew he was special. Who could forget the testimony of the shepherds and the wise men? And when she and Joseph took Jesus to the temple at age 12, she saw that he amazed the elders and the priests with his answers. He was truly about his Father's business. At the wedding in Cana of Galilee, she saw him turn water into wine. He was special, and she knew that. She knew it, but how can you really know it? But she also saw him fail in his effort to impact the people of his own village, those that knew him best, rejecting him. And his teachings disturbed her. She and her other sons went to hear him teach on one occasion, and they were turned away. She heard him say, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And she saw him stretch forth his hands towards his disciples and said, "Behold my mother and my brethren, for whoever does the will of God is my mother and my brother, my sister." Didn't he know who his real family was? What was happening to him? Have you ever been baffled by your own children? We always have to remember when we're looking at the scriptures, we're looking back and we've been taught and we've listened. But can you imagine this as it's going on in real time? Children keep us on our toes. And Mrs. Spark tells when he was a Christian educator in Birmingham, Alabama, he and his wife had dinner. His secretary, Shara Lee, and her family came over for dinner. And as they were standing around the table after the meal, Spark's 3-year-old Libby climbed up in Charlie's lap, and Libby said, "My dad said you stuck your foot in your mouth. How did it taste?" I'm sure you've had things similar to that happen in your life. Who cannot tell a story like that? As someone has said, children seldom misquote you. In fact, they usually repeat word for word what you should not have said. Small children can baffle you and embarrass you. And how about teenagers? Oh, should we even get started there? Teenagers are wonderful. But during that time when they are testing out their own ideas and belief, they have a tendency to test the limits. Meanwhile, they're testing your patience. Someone has humorously put it this way. Why did God have Abraham go to the special mountain to test him with sacrificing his only son Isaac when he was only 12? The answer, because if it had waited till he was 15, Abraham might have actually gone through with it. Just a joke. Robert Fulghum, I was looking at this book this week. I've got it at home. Author of All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. It says this about raising teenagers. The first rule is to roll with the punches. The second rule is to roll with the punches. The third rule is to roll with the punches. He says, you're going to get punchy, but just keep doing it. Children can baffle you. Yes, even adult children, 30, 40, 50. Jesus did not cease being Mary's son simply because he passed the age of 30. She still worried about him as he began his ministry, like many of you worry about your adult children, because children baffle you. And children can break your heart. You might remember Rita Rudner's great line, the comedian. She said, my husband and I are either going to buy a dog or have a child. We can't decide whether to ruin our carpet or to ruin our lives. It broke Mary's heart to see Jesus hanging on the cross. Can't you imagine her weeping with great sobs as she gazed upon his body? This wasn't just somebody there. This was her son in all his pain and hurt. Her beautiful boy who had never had hurt anybody in the world hanging there. And shame and disgrace for everyone to see and mock at and make fun of. Like he's a criminal. The blood draining out of his body. The bruises and the welts on him. The crown of thorns with the blood coming down. How could she make it through this awful tragedy? She would have to make it through the same way that every mother and all of us have made it through the trials, through the centuries. She would have to lean on the one who created her son in the womb. Where else does anyone turn in such time of need except to turn to God? Children can baffle you and children can break your heart. And yet children, after generation, we keep having children. Why? Because children make life worthwhile. They fill our lives with joy. They give our lives meaning and purpose. Some author put it like this. The government recently calculated the cost of raising a child up to age 18 is about $160,000, and that doesn't include college. It breaks down to about $24, $25 a day, or about a dollar an hour. Still, you might think the best financial advice would not be to have children if you want to be rich, but really, I believe it's just the opposite. There's no way to put a price tag on it. Feeling a new life move for the first time and seeing that bump in your belly and seeing something move across your stomach. Having someone cry, it's a boy, it's a girl. But all that excitement and anticipation. Counting all 10 fingers and toes for the very first time. Feeling the warmth of fat cheeks against your breast as you hold that child. Cupping the entire head in the palm of your hand. Making out dada or mama for the very first time. So what do you get for $160,000? You get the naming rights. You get to name that child. Some have picked some good names. Some have picked some names. Oh, what are that child going to do for the rest of their life? You get the first name, the middle name, the last name. You get glimpses of God, I think, every day. You get giggles under the covers at night with a flashlight. Thought I'd tell you to go to bed. More love than the heart can hold. Butterfly kisses and Velcro hugs, and they won't turn you loose. Endless wonder over rocks and ants and clouds and warm cookies fresh out of the oven. A hand to hold, usually covered with jam. At least that's what you hope it is. A partner for blowing bubbles, flying kites, building sandcastles, skipping down the sidewalk in the pouring rain. Someone to laugh yourself silly with, no matter what the boss said at work or no matter where your portfolio is. For $160,000, you never have to grow up. You get to finger paint. You get to carve pumpkins and play hide and seek and go outside and catch lightning bugs and never stop believing in Santa Claus. You have an excuse to keep reading the adventures of Piglet and Pooh and the little train that could. And you get to watch Saturday morning cartoons, and you get to go to the movie theater when a Disney movie is playing without anyone looking at you like you're weird. You get to collect frame and paintings and put them on your refrigerator. You get noodle reefs for Christmas, handprint set in clay for Mother's Day, and cards with backward letters. For $160,000, there's no greater bang for your buck. You get the hero just for retrieving a frisbee off the garage roof, taking the training wheels off the bike, filling the wading pool, getting that gum out of the hair, coaching a soccer team that never wins and still they get treated to ice cream after. You get a front row seat to history, to witness the first step, the first word, the first date, and God help you, the first time behind the steering wheel of the car. You get another branch added to your family tree, and if you're lucky, a list of limbs in your obituary that give a list, long list of grandchildren. You get an education in psychology, nursing, criminal justice, communications, and human sexuality that no college course can match. In the eyes of a child, you rank right up there with God. You have the power to heal a boo-boo, scare away monsters from under the bed, to heal a broken heart, police a slumber party, ground them forever, and love them without limits. So one day they, like you, will love without counting the cost. Children can baffle you. They can break your heart. But they can bring you a great deal of joy and love and happiness that nothing else on this planet can bring you. Maybe that's why God had children. Certainly we baffle God with our actions. I know I've baffled God. I know I've broken His heart. Then I've had to go hug Him and say, God, I'm sorry. I love you. You still love me. Still, God loves us so much that God sent Christ to give His life on our behalf. On this Mother's Day, it would be great if we remembered all the mothers, all the grandmothers, great-grandmothers. And it'd be great if we took a moment to remember Mary, the mother of Jesus, because she was baffled by her son. On one occasion, her heart was broken, but she stood by him to the end. She may not have understood the words he was saying, especially these are my brothers and sisters, my mother. Why? Because that is what life is all about. Love within the human family. Sometimes it's hard. Family is the one that can break our heart like no other people on this world. But they're the ones that can love us and be there for us when we're in pain and when we're in need. The human family. And there's also love within the divine family. God loving us through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there should be, and I hope there is, in this church, love within the church family. We treat each other with dignity and love and respect, and we show that love. Love that comes from the heart of a loving, almighty God. So I say this to you today. Happy Mother's Day. May this be a great, wonderful day for you. But not just today, for every day. I know also that this is a painful day for many of us that no longer have our mothers. As I've said before, I was 12 years old when I lost my mother. I haven't gotten over it yet. I don't think I ever will. But you move to a certain place that is not there every day. For those of you who have your mothers, and maybe there's tension, heal, forgive, put your relationship back together. May God bless you. Amen.